Thank you, choir, and thank you, Pleasant Valley South, for being here today, for letting me come and share. Turn to Galatians chapter 6. As you turn there, I'm going to ask you a question. So whether you're in the room here at the Contemporary Service or watching online, I want you to give a verbal response out loud. And students and boys and girls, this is not a question just for the adults in the room, for you also, but here's the question. How many of you want your children or the children God may grant you in the future, not just your children, but the children of those you love, the cousins, the neighbors, the friends. How many of you want those children not only to come to faith in Christ, but you want to know that they're faithfully serving Him in the body of Christ in the local church when they're 25, 35, 45 years of age and beyond, that they're serving Him for their entire lives? If that's your heart's desire, say amen. Amen. This message is for you. And I want to tell you the roots of the message, where it comes from, before we get into the text. And it goes back to my family. And I like to say, if you want to know how to pray for me, here's all you need to know. I am the father of three daughters. Now you know how to pray, okay? And I love my girls. And two of them are now married, two sons-in-law, now four grandchildren. One is literally en route now to our home from Charleston. Actually, they've been at her father-in-law's house yesterday and heading our way. So looking forward to connecting with them. But as my children grew older, of my three, going back 7 or 8 years ago, two were in church and one was not. And I'll be honest with you, I carried a lot of guilt about that, about where did we miss the mark with this daughter who as an adult is no longer in church, though we'd raised her to come to church and shared the gospel with her, but she's not in church. And that really burdened me. And not only that, when you look at here in North America, while Christianity is growing worldwide, here in North America, there's an erosion going on, particularly among young adults. You know, what's going on? And there's a lot being written about why we're losing young adults and our children today. And why today that when students graduate high school, and this is unprecedented, but now of three that graduate high school, one will stay in church and two are going to disconnect. So what's going on here? So a friend of mine who's a professional researcher, and I'm a researcher as a hobby, we did a national study, not just here in Georgia, but cross-denominational, coast to coast, and we studied young adults who grew up in church. And what we were looking at is those who were still there, what kept them there? In other words, instead of why we're losing young adults, for those who grew up in church, what keeps them connected to the church into their adult lives? And out of that came a project called Why They Stay in Church. And there's been nothing like that before. It's always why people are leaving instead of what keeps them connected. And while that is a book, I'll tell you how you can get some free information there on my website, stevepar.net. There's an 8-part video series. It's absolutely free. 8 30-minute videos for parents and those who care for their children or grandchildren and who have disconnected. So what does keep them in church, especially if you're raising children now, the keys to keeping them connected, not just now, but into their adult lives. But I got to tell you another part of the story. As I go about teaching this all over the place, not just in Georgia, but beyond, the most common question I would get following my message or my seminar would be, Steve, I have a son or a daughter who grew up in church. They're no longer there. How do I get them back? Or how do we get them back? That is a great question. That was my concern too. What can we do to win my daughter back into the family and get her reconnected to the church? And I got to tell you another piece of that story too. Remember the daughter I told you who was out of church 7 or 8 years ago and we were concerned about? We began to do this work. As of this morning, she is not only in church, her husband's in church. I baptized him 2 years ago. And not only is she back in church, she's now in ministry. God, it's been a total turnaround. Can I get an amen? God has been good. So we've seen a turnaround in her life. But anyway, my partner and I went back and did another study. Again, another national study, cross-denominational, coast to coast. And what we studied this time were those adults who grew up in church, but after high school, they disconnected for a year or more, but they made it back. And we asked them, what got you back to church? And it is intriguing information. And once again, stevepar.net, there's a 4-part free video series there for parents and those who care about this subject, about the keys to getting your kids back into church. Now, we know it's a work of God. We understand that. But what role can we play in facilitating and helping them to reconnect to the church? So today, here's what I want to do. I want to go to the scripture and consider implications for the church itself, because When we did this study of those who disconnected for a year or more and made it back, they told us a lot about the church and the church's role in getting them back. So today, if you are a believer, if you're a follower of Christ, if you're a member of this church or any other church, what do we do as a church? Now, I would point out also, I will be back in 3 weeks to do a second part of this message, which I'm going to really zero in on parents. However, there'll be applications for everyone, trust me. And I don't know if you can connect the dots, but there's actually, leading up to Christmas, a connection between Christmas and things you can do to impact your kids in terms of getting them back to church if they have disconnected. So I hope you'll be back in 3 weeks for that. But this morning, I want to speak specifically to the church. So Galatians chapter 6, would you stand with me wherever you are right now as we read God's word and ask them to speak to our stand right now in the honor of the reading of God's word, his inspired word. These are God's words to us. As Paul wrote, divinely inspired by the Holy Spirit, in Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, when he said, brothers, if someone is caught in, watch this, any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual should restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves so you also won't be tempted. Carry one another's burdens in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we're looking into your inspired word. God, we're trusting you're going to speak to us through your word, but not only the word, God, even the things that you've taught me through this process. I pray you'll speak to us not only as parents, but Father, people who just love our brothers and sisters and fellow church members, our relatives who are struggling. God, show us what we can do that would make a difference in their lives. Because God, we know that you care for them. And Lord, we know that we have all strayed. We've all gone astray like sheep, you say in your word. So Lord, help us to examine ourselves also. Speak to us, encourage us, and God, use this message for your kingdom's sake, we ask in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. Now I will tell you this message this morning, very brief, is divided into two parts. And the first part, it's gonna be like half sermon, and I'll be honest, half seminar. And so if you'll give me that liberty this morning. Of course, in the sermon part, we're gonna look at the instruction from this text. And then if you'll allow me the last 10 minutes or so, well, I'm gonna look at some things that we discovered in our research and we can see how that connects and how that can help you in helping one of those who have disconnected from church, because it's interesting here. I turned to Richard a while ago because I preached the first Sunday that Philip was gone and preached, you may not remember necessarily, but what to do when you lose your leader. I was trying to encourage you and cheer you on into the interim, knowing that it's a challenge and everything. And I turned and said, Richard, how's attendance holding up? And he gave me his perspective of how attendance is doing during this interim season. But in my experience, I would not be surprised as you look around, there's someone that you don't see that was here 8 weeks ago, 10 weeks ago, 12 weeks ago. They've disconnected. Now, in their defense, they may have taken opportunity to go to another church and might have just been the timing, and we understand that, don't have a problem with that. Maybe that was the timing for them, but for others, honestly, they have disconnected. They're not in church today. Do we have any responsibility for them? And if so, what should we do? So let's think about, first of all, the instruction of the text. Several things I want you to see here. First of all, I want you to notice, number one, the target of this admonition from the scripture. Because when Paul begins, he begins with this word, brothers. That is not incidental or coincidental. When he says brothers, the letter of Galatians is addressed to the church. He's speaking to the church family, those in front of me right now, those in our contemporary service, those watching online right now. He's speaking when he says brothers, brothers and sisters, or another way he says believers. Those of you who are followers of Christ, those who are members of the church, this is really being addressed, though it was written 2,000 years ago, it's been divinely preserved in Scripture because it's as if Paul were standing here right now admonishing you. It's as if the Holy Spirit today in 2024 was speaking to your heart saying, brothers and sisters in Christ, listen up. Here's what we need to do. So that is the target. The target is you, those of you who are hearing this message right now. Teenagers, this message is for you. Boys and girls, this is not for mom and dad. This message is for you. God has something to say to you in this message this morning. Notice, secondly, the issue. the issue we see here, we see a problem that is addressed. And what is this problem? He says, if someone is caught, now notice this, in any wrongdoing. Now that word any makes it pretty comprehensive. That means any possibility. Of course, our subject today would be those who are following Christ or claim to follow Christ, and now they're no longer involved with the body of Christ. They've disconnected, they've disengaged. That is wrongdoing. We can certainly make an argument for. God invites us to worship. God expects us to worship. And as God expects us to worship, He expects us to worship with other believers. And that is clear in the scripture. He called pastors. Why would God appoint and call pastors if He did not have an expectation that we would gather together for worship? I could give you many, defenses for that very point from Hebrews and beyond, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is. So if someone is disconnected from the church, that is one of many possible things that would be considered right here a wrongdoing. If someone strays, that would apply right here. Brothers, sisters, believers, if someone is disconnected from the church, if they're caught up in that wrongdoing, notice number three here. He says, you who are spiritual. And honestly, this is where this passage often trips us up, because we don't want to think too much of ourselves. We know that we're not super saints. And although someone may think you're a good person, you know better. You know your heart, your mind, you know your actions, you know that we all mess up. And I'll be honest with you, I just don't feel worthy to preach. I don't feel worthy to teach. I'll tell you why I don't feel worthy. You know why? Because I'm not worthy to preach. I'm not worthy to teach. I'm not worthy of the Lord. I'm so thankful that my righteousness is not based on my actions. My righteousness is based on Jesus' actions, based on His death on the cross, His resurrection, His ascension back to heaven, His Holy Spirit indwelling me, the fact that I've received Him. I'm righteous not because of my deeds, but because of His deeds. So you've got to understand, when He talks about those of you who are spiritual, He's not saying those of you who are super saints. He's not saying those of you who are super spiritual. He's not saying those of you who are deacons and Sunday school teachers. When He speaks of those who are spiritual, He's talking to those of you who are engaged in the life of the congregation. You're here. You're worshiping. You're not perfect, nor are you expected to be perfect. You are growing in your faith. So if this passage were only for those who were super saints, only those who were super spiritual, only those who were perfect in their faith, honestly, no one could obey this passage. But the very beginning, when He says, brothers, it's to all believers. Those of you who are spiritual, in other words, those of you who are connected to the body of Christ, those of you who are seeking to follow Christ in spite of any struggles that you may have, and we all have our struggles. And so He says, you who are spiritual, those of you who are members of the family of faith, and what you do here is you check yourself first. Because if you're not a member of the family of faith, certainly you cannot accomplish this, but I want to point out something I want you to listen to very carefully. If you do not feel that you are capable of obeying this text, here's the reason why. It's because you have strayed. You're the one that has strayed if you cannot obey this passage. Therefore, you need to repent and say, Lord, I want to be in a place where I can be used of you to advance the gospel to those who don't know Christ, but in addition, for those who have disconnected, to reconcile them and bring them back into the family, serving and obeying you. So we see here that you've got to watch out for yourselves, He says, so you won't be tempted, so that you're not the one who has disconnected. And let me just tell you, it is easy, because the culture is always battling against you. Your flesh is always battling against you. Satan and the demons of hell are always battling against you. It is very, very easy to drift. In Hebrews chapter 2, he says, you've got to take attention and pay attention lest you begin to drift. Our natural tendency is to drift not towards God. Our tendency is to drift away from God. So we're all vulnerable there. We've got to give attention to ourselves and be sure we're not drifting, that we're not disconnecting, so that not only can we advance the gospel and fulfillment of the Great Commission, but that we can help those who have struggled. Now, I would add this also in terms of this subject right here. Check your relationship to the person that you're concerned about. In other words, if you have a child who has disconnected, or if you have a friend, or if there's a fellow member here that's disconnected, check your relationship to them, and here's why. You'll only be able to have an influence over them out of a place of love and relationship. If they are a stranger, you have no influence. If you are estranged because of conflict, you have no influence. It's important that you have a love relationship with them. The person that you're dealing with, whether a family member, a child, or a fellow church member, they have to be more than an acquaintance. If there's a member of West Rome Baptist Church who you don't even know, who is disconnected from West Rome Baptist Church today, you have no influence over that. You don't have a relationship. You've got to have a relationship with the person that you're concerned about. And I would add one other thing here also. In this regard, as you hear this message, remember this. No one has appointed you to be the arbiter of all issues in the lives of your fellow members. And the reason I say that, every church seems to have that person, okay? That thinks it's their responsibility. No, if you don't have a relationship with a person, the responsibility is not yours. God will bring people around them with that relationship, with that love, with that connection, who can minister to them. You can certainly pray, but if you don't have a relationship, if you're an acquaintance, you're not going to have a lot of impact. So he tells us what to do here. Our actions are, he says, restore them. Now that's very proactive. You can't just sit around and do that. It means you've got to do something proactively. Restore them. That means seek to reconcile them to God. It's like if a couple's breaking up and you're working with both sides to try to bring them back together. Well, we're doing this in terms of God and someone who says they're a follower of Christ, and they've disconnected, and we're trying to reconcile them. So here we see we need to be proactive about this. Thus the message today. Thus the text. Be proactive about it. But notice how he says to do it. Notice he says, do this with a gentle spirit. Now, I'll probably say this again in 3 weeks, but let me just say it for parents, and then we'll apply it more broadly. If you've got a son or a daughter who's out of church, listen carefully. You cannot complain them back. It won't happen. And I want to say that to those of you who have friends or family or a member here. You can't complain them back. You're not to drag them back into the family. You're not to beat them up over their straying or their drifting. We're not to do that. It says restore them with a gentle spirit. And I would take that to mean with a loving spirit. Not with harshness, not with condemnation, but with a thought of restoration. I think of the woman that was caught in adultery. Remember that in the scripture, how they drug her out through the streets and placed her in front of Jesus, said, this woman has been caught in the very act of adultery. What should we do? And they knew the law said she should be stoned for this action. You remember the response of Jesus? He said, let that man of you without sin throw the first stone. And you may remember how they all realized, I can't throw the stone. Then they all began to walk away. Notice the difference in the Pharisees, or those who drug her out in front of Jesus. They were there for condemnation. But the approach of Jesus was restoration. And that has to be your approach with somebody who struggled or strayed, not a spirit of condemnation. While there may be condemnation to be had, that should come from the Holy Spirit, not from you. Your role is not condemnation. You see from this text, your role is restoration. And when we do this, this text tells us that this pleases Christ. Now, how do you know that? Because the text says, in this way, you will fulfill the law of Christ. So that is what the text says. That is the instruction. That's the sermon. Now, let's do the seminar part. Let me tell you a little bit about what we learned in the research, because it connects very well with this text and the one that I will share again in 3 weeks as we zero in on parents. But remember again today, I'm speaking more broadly to the church. Those of you who are here today in our contemporary service, those watching online who are followers of Jesus, and you are connected to the church. First thing is we asked those who had disconnected, why did you leave? What were your reasons? And we have, by the way, the top 10 reasons you can find in the book, Why They Stay. You can find in the video series, When They Stray. We list all 10 of those. But second time this morning, I'm going to share three of the top four as they relate, because three of the top four had to do with the church, not necessarily with parents. That's interesting. Here they were. Number one is this. I left because I had a bad church experience. Let that sink in for a moment. I left because I had a bad church experience. That was the number one reason. Now, what would that bad church experience have been? It could have been disunity, arguing in the church, fussing and fighting, sadly, deadness in the church, no life. And I go to churches sometimes, Brother Richard, and I go back, look, I'm not the funeral home when I go outside because it's just dead sometimes, sadly. There's no life in the church, no life in the worship, no life in the music, no life in the preaching. Sometimes, very commonly, hypocrisy. You ever heard that phrase, the church is filled with hypocrites? A lot of people use that hypocrisy. Generational neglect. Many times ignoring the young adults, ignoring children, ignoring those who are younger, ignoring those who are older for that matter. Relationships, bad church experiences. So here's where is a point that we need to honestly pray in our hearts right now. God, never let Pleasant Valley South be guilty of giving someone a bad church experience. Can I say amen? Never let it be. And that comes down to you and your attitude. And there's times to confront issues. There's times to deal with things. But the way you deal with them is very, very important. And we see it here. Reason number three, they said, I'm skipping number two, but I'm talking about things related to church. Reason three was this. I have intellectual doubts. Not going to apply to parents and to the church, of course. And here's something that's changed in the last few years. Since 2007, by the way, this did not exist in 2007. That's when it hit the market. And what's happening here is nothing wrong with this, but it's a great day to be alive. But adults and boys and girls have access to more information than they've ever had access to in all of history. And more people have access to your children and to your family than ever had access to you perhaps growing up if you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s and beyond. And what's happening is they're getting many messages and it's very confusing sometimes. And so apologetics is becoming more important than ever in the church. That we're sharing the defense of the faith, why we believe this is the Word of God, why you can trust it, why there's 60, why 66 books of the Bible, why not more? You know, what about the virgin birth of Christ? What about the resurrection? Are we teaching those things? Now, it's important we do this young. I got my apologetics at Shorter University when I was in college, when I was a college student, but that's too late now. You've got to be sharing apologetics with your boys and girls, with your teenagers, very young. And you may suppose, no, you can't do that with teenagers. Teenagers aren't into theology, and teenagers aren't into doctrine, and teenagers aren't into apologetics. Let me tell you this. If a teenager can learn trigonometry, he can learn theology. Think about that for a second. And so certainly we got to be providing that. The number four reason was I can't find a good church. Isn't that sad? Because in Georgia, there's churches on every corner. And you know what they are really saying when they said they can't find a church? I went, but the church, usually it's because the church is unfriendly. Now, I'm in dozens and dozens. Literally, I've been in hundreds of churches in my ministry. And you know what? Every church thinks they're friendly. Did you know that? Every church thinks, but they're not all friendly. Many times they think they're friendly, and I went to one last week, they're friendly to one another. And just because you're being friendly to one another does not mean the guest or the person who's disconnected and comes back, it does not mean they feel that. And I want to say to you this morning, being friendly is not just the responsibility of your greeter team or your welcome services or of your ushers. If you're here this morning, you are a member of this church, you have a responsibility here to be sure people are warmly embraced. But they said, I can't find a good church. Never let it be said. Somebody comes to Pleasant Valley South and says, I just couldn't find a good church. Man, it should be automatic that they're feeling blessed. Something else we learned was this. We asked a question, what could the church have done differently? There's a great question. And they answered, and here's the top three answers we received. Number one, as they said, listen very carefully, better relationships. Now, let me tell you, I appreciated a while ago when you did the fellowship hymn and we all stood and greeted one another. I'm going to let you in on a little secret. You ready? For the guest or the person who's disconnected, that is totally meaningless. What means something to them is if you're engaging them before the service and after the service. And not just shaking their hand and saying, glad to see you, but saying, now what's your name? And do you live locally? Have you been here before? Because you may not know. Do you have family that are not here? Where do you work? Beginning to have a conversation, introducing yourself, getting to know them. And maybe, hey, would you be interested in joining us for lunch this afternoon? We'd love to take you out to lunch. Or would you come back next week? Let us take you to lunch. And inviting someone and getting to know them, not just a cursory handshake. Better relationships, better connections. Secondly, they said better discipleship. And that goes back to the apologetics question. In other words, good Bible study. I'm going to talk about a couple things here in terms of Bible study. I'm talking about the delivery of the Bible study. We got to understand we're living in 2024 and the way people learn is different and people have different learning styles. And knowing that, people want application. How does it impact their lives? That's just the nature of people. And we've got to understand our Bible study teachers. Let me tell you, no matter how long you've been teaching, and you may be thinking, Brother Steve, I've been teaching 25 years. Well, I know some teachers who have been teaching 25 years, but they have 1 year of experience 25 times. You've got to be continuing to grow no matter where you sit today as a Bible study leader. And you say, Steve, I'm not the Bible study leader. Well, let me ask you, how's it going in your group? You're saying, I'm not in a group. You need to be in a group. He said, the group's not strong. How can you make it stronger? How can you help that leader? How can you help that teacher? So better relationships, they said, better discipleship. And thirdly, they said, goes back to an earlier point, better crisis management. When things go sideways, the way they handle it. Handling it again with love and not with animosity and not with getting in one another's face. But listen, my wife and I, this may surprise you, we disagree sometimes. You ever heard of that in marriage? We disagree sometimes. But you know, there's no doubt we love each other. And we're going to come to consensus. We're going to come to conclusion. I'm not walking away. I'm not going to be in her face. I'm going to tell her what I think, but even I'm going to do that with respect. I'm going to do that in a spirit of love. And it's so important that my children see the way that my wife and I, if we disagree, that they see how we disagree and that we work through it. Well, the same thing's true for the body of Christ. How we react to one another when things don't go exactly as we intend. A third issue we looked at was this. What influenced you to return? Now, this is great right here for the church. The top two answers for those who were under 30 who left the church and came back. Top two answers. You ready? Number one was, I got married and came back. That's good for you. Do you have a young marriage class? Whatever you call a young marriage group. You say, yeah, we started one 22 years ago. Well, then you don't have one. I know some churches have young marriage 22 to 77. That's not a young marriage group. Do you have a group for young adults under age 30 who are married? Do you have a group for nearly weds, for engaged couples? That's very appealing, those who are getting engaged, to get their foot back in their faith. So many, this is an opportunity. And they said, secondly, I had a child. That was very significant with my daughter who came back, by the way. She was told she could not have children, and God brought a miracle to her. Her name is Kaylin. And that was one of many influences that impacted her in coming back, because she'd always told me, Dad, when I have children, I'm going to get back in church. But let's take this point by itself. Those who disconnected said, I came back because I had a child. In addition, in our former study, when we said, are you coming back? The number one answer was, I'm coming back. 39% said, I'm coming back when I have children. 4 in 10, which brings us to this point. If it's true that those who have disconnected said they're planning to come back when they have children, those who have reconnected said I came back because I had children, that means Pleasant Valley South should be identifying every pregnant woman in Floyd County. And really being proactive to go and love on them and minister and encouraging them and showing them there's a place, because there's a likelihood they grew up in church and they've disconnected, but they know how valuable and how important this is for their children. Now, we're going to dig more into that in 3 weeks. Now, one more I'll show you here before I wrap this up. When they show up, they told us something. When they finally make it back, they said, be nice, and I'm summarizing here, be nice, but don't make too much of a fuss when I come back. Now, listen carefully. Imagine somebody's been out for 2 or 3 years or 2 or 3 weeks and they come back. Act like it's normal for them to be back. Don't make too much of a fuss. Don't have them stand up. Don't yell out their name. Don't go and just overwhelm them. Just, hey, good to see you today. How's everything going? And show appreciation. Acknowledge they're back, but don't overwhelm them. Don't make too much of a fuss. Well, listen, maybe as I've shared this today, it's interesting where you're watching in this service, the contemporary service online. Could it be that you are the one who has strayed? You just happen to be here today, and we're glad you're here. And could that be providential? You're here today for this message. Could God be saying something to you? You see, even when you don't care, God still cares. Even when you waver, I want you to know God is a solid rock. Even when you struggle, and you may have struggled, God does not change. Even when you rebel, and maybe you have, God loves you like you are a precious child. Even when you are unfaithful, God has remained and will remain faithful. Even when you fall, we've got a God who always stands tall. Even when you sin, God reaches out with scarred hands, offering you forgiveness. Even when you seem hopeless, God is willing to give you another chance today. Do you know someone today who has strayed from the church? You see, God's called you to a ministry of reconciliation, restoration. Are you the one today who has disconnected, that's fallen away? You see, today you know your heart. You know your life. There's a hymn of old I want to call your attention to, and I'm going to bless you by not singing it, but just reading the words. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. Patiently, Jesus is waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home. Come home. You who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, oh sinner, come home. Do you need healing today? Do you need forgiveness? Come home. Do you need salvation? Come home. Do you need encouragement today? Come home. Get out of your seat in a moment. Come and let us pray with you. Come home. Come home. Come home. I want you to stand right now wherever you are with heads bowed and eyes closed. I'm going to ask Richard and other staff to make their way down to the very front. And you don't have to wait on a note of music to play or me to say another word to begin to make your way forward right now to come home. Some of you are coming to pray for that person that you're genuinely concerned about, family member, friend, child, fellow church member. Not with condemnation, not with judgment, God, just with a pure heart to say, God, I'm just praying for them today that your Holy Spirit would draw them and show me how I can be engaged with them to encourage them to walk with you as you've called them to. I invite you to this altar to do that. I invite you today, if you need to know Jesus as Lord and Savior, to come say today, I want to be a follower of Jesus. Let us, again, encourage you and walk you through that process and what God says. You can do that right now where you are, understand. And please do, just in your heart. God, I know you love me. I know Christ has died for my sins. I believe that with my heart. I believe that he died for my sins and that he rose again. I believe that by faith. And today, I know you'll forgive me. I'm asking you to forgive me and be Lord and Savior of my life. If that's your prayer, come home. Let us begin to walk with you on that journey. You see, all we like sheep have gone astray. If you've gone astray, come home. Come and let us pray. We're not going to embarrass you or anything. We're going to bless you and encourage you. Where are you today? Let's pray. Then we'll begin. Father, thank you for your word. We pray for the invitation, God. And God, not only for the invitation, for the hours and days to come, that God, you would help this message to resonate in our hearts. And God, I'm not praying now for the message in 3 weeks, that you'll use it in a powerful way. And I pray many who are disconnected today will be here that day because of what you've done in the lives of the members that are present as we speak. And we're trusting you with that today in Jesus' name. Amen. You come on right now. Come home. Let's go.